We present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
And welcome to the news quiz. We start with a sandwich packet read by Brian Perkins.
Marks and Spencer food to go, roast chicken salad, now with roast chicken.
Thanks to Keith Shea of Kent for purchasing that. Let's meet the teams. Please welcome first on my right, Armando Iannucci and Chris Addison. Opposite them on my left, Alan Corran and Linda Smith. Armando, who won't soon be heading for uncharted waters?
Now, this is traditionally the easy question, isn't it?
It is.
Chris next to me has very helpfully written down, I don't know.
This is one of the reasons that Tessa Jowell is so exercised, is because stuff on the BBC is so crap.
Of course!
But despite that, the news quiz will go on for another 50 years because the charter's being renewed. And everybody will still pay the £121 to listen to Armando not knowing what he's doing here.
It was only because I was so busy reading the small print of the BBC's charter. It's last in, first out, so, Chris...
Bye-bye.
Sorry.
One of the injunctions on the BBC, so it gets its few bob and it can stand outside with its tin cup every year, is that it mustn't have any more derivative programmes or formulae stolen from... other media, such as Have I Got News For You? I mean, that will have to go immediately.
She said that the BBC was no longer to chase ratings.
They told Noel Card not to chase ratings, but it didn't help.
Culture Secretary Tessa Giles' green paper on the future of the BBC proposes sweeping changes to the corporation's governance while insisting that the BBC indeed stops chasing ratings. Director General Mark Thompson has already pledged to cut down on the number of repeats. In addition, Director General Mark Thompson has pledged to cut down on the number of repeats. 2 points to Alan. Chris, who has taken extended leave of his senses?
Who's taken extended leave of his senses? Chris, is it? It's not.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't
know. Nice teamwork, boss.
Extended leave is the key to this question.
That's just repeating the question.
Yes. No, just saying them louder isn't helping me. You're going to have to say them using as the source.
Extended leave.
Big leave. A leave.
Chris,
big tree.
Yes.
We don't know.
Oh, great. I'll tell you what. Tell me the story and then I'll tell you about it.
Whose leave is going to be extended?
Oh, right. That.
No.
So,
oh, no,
there you go.
Piece of cake. Why don't you say? So, they're going to change maternity leave so that men can do some of it. So it's a kind of all-in tag team vomit clearing affair. That's it. That's it, basically.
And you get more money. More children you have, the more money you get.
That's the Catholic Church, I think.
All right.
That's how that works.
Relatives of mine have one of these baby alarm things, and it picked up people talking in the house over the road.
Police use them all the time.
I used to know somebody who actually, because they got free calls from their mobile phone to the same network, they would call the wife's mobile phone, leave it in the child's room, and then go down the pub with the other one, put it on speakerphone, leave it on the bar and have a drink till the kid woke up and then they go home.
That has been the plot of EastEnders for the last 3 years. Yeah.
Tony Blair has alarmed the business community by unveiling a raft of family-friendly work proposals, including extending flexible working hours, boosting maternity and paternity leave. In an interview on Women's Hour, Tony Blair said he wished he spent less time at the office himself. But Alistair Campbell's tea doesn't brew itself. Linda, why did schools get a dressing down over human rights?
Oh, yeah. This is the ever hilarious subject of Muslim dress. This is about a young girl... in Luton, who took her school to the court of the International Court of Human Rights, was it? She didn't have to go that far.
She was suspended for 2 years and then eventually...
She was wearing this Muslim garment thing.
Jilbab.
Well, she wanted to wear the jilbab because it only showed your hands and your face. Yeah. But it seems to me the shalwar kameez, if you wear a scarf with it, does the same sort of thing. So I'm not sure if this was a religious thing or if it was just... Teenager doesn't want to wear school uniform.
I think they should test whether that's true by making her wear a tie with it. Just have to wear a school tie. You can have whatever
so
you like.
So much smarter with a tie.
Yeah.
But I can understand that because I would have rather worn that jilbab than my school uniform. And it would have probably been more practical. Because I had this really stiff blazer made out of really... sort of unyielding material, totally stiff, and you could turn round inside it and it would just stay there. Just spin round and the blaze would be... And it had this crest on it, like you were all little midget Alan Wickers.
Well, it would have been, I mean, thinking of stiff, as it were, it would have been worse for me because, this is absolutely true, my parents were spiritualists and I'd have had to go to school as a table. Have you done your own work, Corran? Rack once for yes, two for no. No, I mean, it's true. Ah, if my parents are only here now, as they probably are.
I wanted to go to school in traditional Christian dress, which was a loincloth.
Ideal for Glasgow. Again, this geobad seems quite practical. In the middle of winter, with these just skirts and little white socks, absolutely freedom. Goose flesh on our legs, you could grate nutmegs on. Just so cruel. Of course, we needed to wear the school uniform so paedophiles could find us.
I wonder how... I've completely forgotten what I was
gonna say.
I've entirely forgotten what I was gonna say. Oh, yeah.
Well, Chris has forgotten, so the whole audience will stay in. Just because Chris has forgotten his joke.
This week, the Court of Appeal ruled that a schoolgirl who was refused permission to wear an Islamic gown in class had been denied the right to manifest her religion. 16-year-old Shabina Begum from Luton was excluded from school for 2 years because of her decision to wear the traditional jilbab. Alan, listen to this. Them Bones by the Sellers Engineering Band. Mm. Alan, who was challenged to shoulder more responsibility in the Commons this week?
Shouldering more responsibility. This must be about that extremely unfortunate woman, Margaret Dixon, who damaged her shoulder in August 2003, and she was booked in to have an operation. And they said that seven times, because every time they booked her in, she had to be cancelled. And oddly, this came to the attention of Michael Howard. I suppose he was walking down the street and he said, "Who is that woman with her arm in a sling?" I wonder if she's been booked in for seven operations, which might embarrass the entire National Health Service.
I read in one of the papers today that her shoulder has become involved in a tug of war between the Tory party. I thought, medically, that's the last thing she did.
During Prime Minister's questions, Michael Howard raised the case of a pensioner who'd had a shoulder operation cancelled seven times by the NHS. Mr. Howard said that he found Mrs. Dixon is in constant pain. Ever since she met him last week, her neck has not been the same.
Oh, no, that is one of those jokes that Tessa Jowell won't let you make, because we've made it every week for about 12 years.
I know, but we're not chasing ratings here, Alan. At the end of round one, the scores are amazingly Armando and Chris 2, but Alan and Linda in the lead with 6 points. And we start round two with a cutting from the Radio Times.
It's the hope of Professor Horn and his fellow expert, Dr. Melissa Hack, that how to sleep better will serve as a wake-up call to the nation.
Thanks to Marita State of North Yorkshire for that. Armando, why is Lebanese democracy a serious prospect?
Now, the clues are Lebanese democracy, aren't they? And Syria.
Yep.
This is...
Don't mess this up, Armando. No. We need these points.
This is to do with Lebanon and Syria. And... I could recite some other countries and see if they... Let's hear it for Chad, ladies and gentlemen. Laos.
I think you'll find that's Laos. That's why they didn't cheer.
I didn't know I was in front of a room full of grammatical and pronunciational pedants.
It's not pronounced pedants. But I think you trapped me there.
There's peace all over the Middle East, and there's a bit of my brain that thinks this could be quite terrifying. There is a slight possibility that George Bush might have been right all along.
I know season's over, I see.
Are you booing George Bush or me for mentioning the microphone? Peace has broken all over the Middle East. Well, some people have gathered in a square in the Lebanon. And the Syrians have taken fright and got in the tanks and gone back to Syria, or say they will.
Yes, this week's London Conference on the Middle East was dominated by the so-called Cedar Revolution in Lebanon. Protests in the streets have led to the resignation of the government and promises of withdrawal of troops by Syria's President Assad. 25,000 people had gathered in Beirut's Martyrs Square, undeterred by government warnings, a vast army presence, and the fact that the gathering place was called Martyrs Square. 2 points to someone there. Chris, whose degrees are virtually worthless?
This is the Internet University. Mm-hmm. The government in about 2000, when everybody was crazy for internets, they got on the bandwagon and they decided to set up a university on the net at the cost of, it turns out, £50 million. The University Internet, formerly the Polytechnics of CFAX. And nobody's, 900 people. After they spent £50 million, 900 people signed up for it, and they're wondering, this is a terrible disaster. Where were they all? I think possibly they were just kind of waiting until the week before the graduation ceremony in July, and then they were going to buy a degree off lastminute.com. That was the plan. Extraordinary, £50
million. Didn't we ought to say it was Blunkett's idea? I mean, his mind may have been on other things at the time, but it was Blunkett's idea. I have no further comment on that, but of course.
Good. Thank you.
But he,
do you think
but
at that stage, do you think by that stage the dog was making decisions?
MPs have condemned the failure of the UK e-university, which was launched in September 2003. In theory, students could log on from home and study degrees in everything from a BA in Viagra ads to a doctorate in penis enlargement.
What?
Don't you get them? I get the penis enlargement. We have a firewall, it's called. But I mean, I can have a penis that reaches the back of this room if I don't.
You don't want your penis enlarged if you've got a firewall. That could be awful.
Yeah, Simon, oh. I think that's the last thing you need.
You're going to lose now.
Linda, listen to this. Linda, who's held up a mirror to modern politics in the Mail?
Well, I think it could be Piers Morgan.
It could.
It's Piers Morgan, who used to be the editor of the Mirror. He's got a whole new career now as the bloke who used to be the editor of the Mirror. And it seems to be working out quite nicely for him, really. He's got £1.2 million for his diaries, which have been serialised in some newspapers and the Daily Mail. And it's full of astonishing revelations, actually. Absolutely heart-stopping revelations, like Alistair Campbell, he's a bit mouthy. Cherie Blair, she's quite ambitious. Tony Blair, whew, dear, and I'm scared of Rupert Murdoch. Honestly, you could have knocked me down with a combine harvester. So it's full of all sorts of stuff like that. All credit to these people who get their diaries published. I don't know how they do it. All this stuff he's writing, went to number 10, Tony Blair very anxious about getting the tabloids. And I think, well, I've not got room in my diary for things like that. I've got 3 days to a page. And I can't argue, it came free from Equity, so you don't look a gift diary in the mouth, do you?
Yeah,
and I've just about got room for 10:30, dentist, little asterisks, record The Sopranos, and that's about it.
That's the highlights that are printed in the Daily Mail. If you get the book, it says, January 21st, edited The Mirror. edited The Mirror again.
I didn't think you ever did 2 full days. I think you're wrong.
Former editor of the Daily Mirror, Piers Morgan, has published his secret diary in the Daily Mail this week. During his time as editor of the Mirror, Morgan claims he met the Prime Minister nearly 60 times. And it's hard to know who to feel more sorry for. I thought to the most scandalous political diaries ever since John Prescott's were translated into English. Alan, which magazine warns of an ideal fraud?
Which magazine? That which, like what, Tyler? It's which magazine? Right. Now, which magazine has come up with this extraordinary report this week that has slipped me completely? I think it's all about people shoving their bank statements and gas bills into the bin, isn't it? I had that today because I got a MBNA replaced my credit card, and I had to snip the old one up. If you put it in the bin, anybody could gum it all together. I don't know what that... But then they could find out things about my birthmark or whatever. So I put them in three separate bins. Now, my neighbour has half my credit card in bits. So, you know, if my account is emptied, I shall know which bugger it is, the bloke next door. And he'll never get his mower back.
Do you know what, Alan? Do you know what, Alan? I find tinfoil in your shoes deflects those sort of thoughts.
A new report by Which magazine says one in four people has been the victim of an identity fraud or knows someone who has. Which says that there are now miniature readers of credit cards that can memorise a number and use it unlawfully again and again. They're called children. At the end of round two, the scores are excitingly close. Armando and Chris have 8 points, though Alan and Linda are still just in the lead with 9.
Since I made that jovial remark about penis extensions, our score seems to have gone down. We have more than 9.
Our score has shriveled and gone down as a result.
We move on to round 3 with the instructions from a pair of beach flip-flops.
Marshall's aqua shoes for best results wear on feet.
Thanks to Leo Beecroft from Nottingham for that. Armando, which new shoes are a feat of intelligent design?
Ah, no. This is the this super shoe that's been brought out, a training shoe, that has gone one better than the Clark's Commandos with little compasses in. They've come up with the perfect running shoe that it has little springs that measure how heavy you are and how fast you want to run, and little gadgets like it's got its own helicopter landing pad in it, and a little old lady who lives in it. And
it's supposed to be able to tell what surface you're on, doesn't it? Mm. And it alerts you when you've stepped in dog mess.
It's not very sophisticated. You say, what surface are you on? It just says, the earth. Yeah. I was thinking, this super smart training shoe, would it have a voice, like in 2001?
Yeah. We don't want to go jogging today, Dave. Let's order a pizza, Dave. Release the laces. I can't do that, Dave.
The Adidas One is a new intelligent trainer which uses a microprocessor to adjust its cushioning according to the terrain underfoot. The inventors hope to bring the shoes to a competitive sport next year. This year, they're only being used in non-competitive sports, such as any match involving the England rugby team.
I have to say, being a Scottish-Italian, it's fantastic watching the English rugby team at the moment. Oh, fantastic.
I don't understand rugby at all. It's like a really boring fight that someone keeps breaking up. It's like a really poor engagement party. When I was a student, the university rugby club, who would always whistly run through the bar naked.
Did they?
And there were chaps with no necks, little heads bobbing about on their shoulders.
Did they wear shoes that went, "You're naked, Dave"?
Dave, all the girls are dressing you with their eyes.
Chris, listen to this. Chris, whose tour is turning into a right royal embarrassment?
It's Prince Charles, the heir to the throne, who's gone to Australia, and it must be very bewildering for him to go to a country where they're largely indifferent to him and don't really want him to succeed his mother. But that's kind of how they feel. And, just drives me nuts, this kind of thing. He was in Alice Springs. And the paper's going, well, only 26 people turned up to see him. Not very popular. There are only 24 people who live in Alice Springs, so two had travelled. You know, be fair. And then he was greeted by 6 Aboriginal ladies who, with the traditional Aboriginal greeting, which is, please don't kill us and take our land. And we're supposed to follow all this stuff as though we care. That's the thing that I hate about this, is that the British... press make out that we care. We don't care. Nobody cares. We didn't even care when the Queen Mother died. All that nonsense about, yeah, no, you see, you make that noise, and that's Pavlovian. I defy any one of you to deny that during the weeks run up to her 100th birthday, you weren't thinking, would be funny, wouldn't it? So, it's... Oh! It's simple lines. It's just more of this kind of palace stuff to get us on. So, sorry, I get really wound up about this. It's more this palace stuff to get us on side. And I just... we would get, in this country, behind the royal family again, if the Queen started behaving like a proper monarch again and started leading the troops into battle, right? That's what I was... See, I wanted to see the Queen the head of the British phalanx of troops astride a flashing white charger, you know, going, come on, lads! Forward! Right? And we would always win because the opposing forces would be kept back behind crab barriers.
Not all...
The question was about Prince Charles's visit to Australia.
So anyway, Prince Charles went to Australia.
Where he's upstaged by Denmark's Australian-born Crown Princess, Mary. Charles was welcomed to Alice Springs by a group of middle-aged, bare-breasted Aboriginal women performing a dance. The dance involves shuffling, the beating together of wooden sticks, and the promise of safe travel. And it's part of Ryanair's no-frills insurance. Linda, who made a meal of their half-time pep talk?
Ah, Dame Delia. Just astonishing pictures of her in the paper from a football match, Norwich City, who she's a chairwoman of, and she's sort of saved them and given them loads of money. And to be honest, I don't want to cast aspersions, but from the look of her in those photos, I think she might have sucked the rum out of about 24 barbers. She looked like your auntie at Christmas. She really did. Like, looked like she'd been on the... on the Port and Lemon big style. So she shouted at her, oh, help him win. Oh, cheer him up. Give me that right good phone. Give it here. Go on, get out of here, all of you. You don't know me. You don't know anything about me. Just give me the microphone. Okay, right. I love you. You're the best fans in the world. And I've got a lovely recipe for apple crumble. And I'm giving it to you till you start singing, all right? Sing, sing. And that was it, really.
Britain's favourite net. Delia Smith had astonished the Flans. The Flans? Delia Smith astonished the fans of her beloved Norwich City on Monday by striding onto the pitch at half-time, giving an emotional appeal for them to get behind the team. Britain's favourite TV cook spent 5 minutes whipping up the crowd before adding sugar, a dash of cranberry cheese. Alan... So, Tovarich, why won't the red cow be flying south of the river at midnight?
I think this is about Arthur Ransom, but I think you did it in an accent. I didn't know it was a Russian accent or MI5 or something.
Is this the one
about Arthur Ransom?
Well, it's not.
And about MI5 and how you become an Englishman if you're a Russian spy.
Yes.
And you've got to wear a bowler hat and carry a rolled carnation under your arm and read a copy of the Weekly Umbrella.
Yeah.
And then they come up to you and they say the grey geese are flying tonight. I thought the Arthur Ransom story was rather better. They did it. I mean, we knew this story 40 years ago that Arthur Ransom was...
Well, not 40 years, actually.
Yeah,
Alan.
Well, I did. Swallows and Amazons came out, and we spotted him for wrong and right away.
Swallows and Mensheviks.
I hated Swallows and Amazons. What about Swallows and Amazons? If you were an urban kid, I only ever saw the sea. We used to go to, Herne Bay once a year. Until I was 20, I didn't know boats had oars. I thought they had pedals.
Swallows and Amazons is basically about how to bring down Britain by capturing islands off 12-year-old girls.
or about destroying the middle classes by drowning their children. When I read it, I couldn't believe these kids were allowed to just go off in boats on great big dangerous lakes. God, my mum won't let me out without a duffel coat.
Files released to the National Archive this week by MI5 include a 1939 Red Army intelligence guide to spying in London. The release of these top-secret files was held as an amazing event, mainly because they hadn't been left on a laptop in a Soho wine bar. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Armando.
This is sent in by the Reverend Ron Smith, who says, I enclose a copy of a photograph taken by the poolside during a recent holiday in Greece. It says, pool rules, no night swimming, children must be supervised, no lifeguard on duty. In emergency, please contact us on 166-2645-092-1825-69-44-16-7441.
Great.
This was sent in by Pauline Daniels, the Tribute Act. you like it? Not a lot. From Lampeter. Ditto. It's an advert from the High Peak Courier. It says, act now for one day only at the Old Hall Hotel, Buxton, Tuesday the 5th of October and Wednesday the 6th of October.
Linda.
Ah, thanks to Peter Rees for this item from the South Wales Evening Post. Council bosses have ordered town centre trees to be cut down because the birds in them are causing a health hazard for shoppers. A high-tech bird scarer has failed to get rid of thousands of starlings, causing a huge mess in Carmarthen town centre. Even the sound of birds of prey did not deter the flock. It just made the droppings worse.
Alan.
I like this, because I was at the National Gallery in the week, Simon, and I have unsettling news from the National Gallery newsletter. It says, and not only are they exponentially flourishing in London, they're also thriving as never before in dozens of provincial cities and towns throughout the country, said Estelle Morris, Minister of State for the Rats.
Thank you all. Let's look at the final scores, which are Armando and Chris 16, but Alan and Linda have clung to their lead and are this week's winners with 17 points. And before we leave you, here's a cutting from Construction News sent in by Paul Baxter.
Scaffolder Carl Schmidt was unaware that he had shot himself in the head with a nail gun until he went to the site canteen and found he couldn't take his hard hat off.
With that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Amanda Iannucci, Chris Addison, Linda Smith and Alan Corrin. The chairman was Simon Hoggart and the news was read by me, Brian Perkins. The chairman's script was written by George Poles, Simon Littlefield, Lucy Clark, Paul Carenza and Roderick Crooks. And the producer was Katie Tyrrell.